You are listening to episode 29 of the Sunday Shakeout, featuring a celebration of my 1,000 plays milestone and a quick start to weightlifting for distance runners. Hello and welcome to the Sunday Shakeout. I'm your host, Nicholas. This episode features a celebration of hitting 1,000 plays for this podcast and a quick start to weightlifting for runners. I will be discussing in the first part of this episode my running story and how my fascination for training turned into a podcast, as well as my experience so far as a podcaster and some major lessons I've learned. For the weightlifting part of this episode, I will be discussing the goals of weightlifting for runners, some common weightlifting mistakes, basic lifting tips for runners, and more. The goal of this episode is to both celebrate how far the Sunday Shakeout has made it so far, and to provide both athletes and coaches with practical advice on weightlifting for runners so that they can improve their performance in this sport that we know and love. If you are new to the Sunday Shakeout, this show features guest interviews, training analysis and tips, gear views, and more, with tips for beginning, intermediate, and advanced runners alike. Listeners will be provided with insightful information that will help them get faster, stay injury-free, and be happy. I want to thank all of my listeners so much for all of the support on this podcast, The Sunday Shakeout. I'm just overjoyed. We've officially made it to 1,000 plays across all platforms. We also made it to 50 followers on Spotify, and so I'm overjoyed and just downright elated by the success of The Sunday Shakeout, and it's all thanks to you guys, the listeners. Week after week, you all motivate me to research, and you keep me excited about the sport that we all know and love. You guys out there are the roots of the success for this podcast, so I can't thank you all enough. I hope you all enjoy this episode and all future episodes and all the episodes that I've already made, and I hope they are all very insightful and that they help the community, as I think that the running community is the greatest sport-related community in the entire world. So again, I can't express enough gratitude for you all, so thank you so much. You keep the lights on, and I can't wait to keep experiencing this journey and see where this podcast goes in the future. So thank you all so much. Last week with this with the Sunday Shakeout, with my episode on mileage, I polled you guys, my listeners, on what you would want me to talk about. 2/3 of the participants wanted me to talk about mileage, with second place being about training assessment. So in this episode, I will answer your request and give you a basic guide to weightlifting. If you would like to participate in polls and even help decide what episodes I create, you can listen on Spotify, I think mainly on a phone, and the polls will appear there. Additionally, you can comment on pretty much every episode and make an episode request at thesundayshakeout@gmail.com. I will do my best to answer your burning questions and make you become a better runner. Strength training for runners is non-negotiable. There, I said it. If there's one takeaway from this episode, that's all you need to know. Strength training has numerous benefits for distance runners and especially weightlifting. Many coaches, like Jason Fitzgerald, don't even consider it cross-training. Instead, it is an essential piece of the training process that every runner needs to do to achieve their biggest running goals, also to be injury-free and to stay in the sport for a long time. However, I find that many athletes or coaches don't know how to lift weights in the gym properly to improve their performance. So in this episode, I will clear up those misconceptions and provide valuable information for all runners, whether you are a seasoned runner who is experienced in weightlifting, or if you are completely new to weightlifting but you want to improve your performance. So without further ado, please enjoy my celebration and my talk on weightlifting. That must have been my longest intro ever. That was pretty exhausting, reading off a script for like 5 minutes, because I don't script my podcast, I just have show notes, but that was pretty exhausting, doing that for 5 minutes. Ugh, or however long that was, I don't know, I don't care. But but here we are, episode 29, super excited for this one, because I'll be celebrating my 1,000th play that I've had. Too bad I can't track like who it was that gave me my 1,000th play. It's not like YouTube or anything like that where I think those content creators can track who made what play. That would be actually pretty cool if I could see who it was and I could give a shout out. But I'm just going to give a shout out to everybody because you all contribute so much to the success of this podcast. And so I can't thank you all enough. You keep the lights on and I digress. Let's get into the meat of this episode. I want to first talk about my podcasting experience so far. I want to talk about my running story. So let's back up a little bit. So I think you all remember 2020. Yeah, that was the quarantine year. And really, running started not from running, but it started from P90X. So I don't know if you all know what P90X is. It's an extreme fitness program ran by this really funny fitness guru named Tony Horton. He's really good. He knows his stuff in the field of health and fitness. If you aren't a general runner, but you're just looking for some advice on health and fitness, definitely go like see Tony Horton, not see him, but go get some of his advice because he is really helpful. He knows pretty much everything about health and fitness, but I digress. Anyway, I started with P90X and that kind of fueled the fire for my love for health and fitness. And then the summer of COVID, they strangely had a summer camp for Seattle Prep, which is the high school that I'm going to. But at the time, I was going into sixth grade. And so I just joined the camp thinking, oh yeah, I'll be pretty good at running and I do P90X. What's the difference between running and doing the cardio that's on there? I've done some super hard cardio for P90X. This is going to be easy. It was not. The running camp was pretty hard. I had not run that far ever in my life, and so that was pretty much a big wake-up call. After the first day, we just ran 2 miles, but my legs were shot. They were just torched, and it made me realize and respect the greatness of these athletes, these runners, whom I thought just looked like skinny people, who weren't going to be super athletic, but they were like really athletic. They were really fast. And so it made me really respect the sport. And so I started to slowly run a little bit. I started running with my dad down on a trail on the waterfront. I remember we had some runs, and I specifically remember a time where my dad and I ran 2 days in a row. I think it was just a 3 mile run, but we ran it like 2 days in a row down on this waterfront. And I was like, man, we're running 2 days in a row. My dad's like, yep, that's how you get stronger. That's how you get the adaptations. And I couldn't agree more, although I didn't really know much about intensity then. Although we didn't stop, we did all the runs without stopping, even though they were kind of slow. But it was a great introductory into the sport. I wasn't super fast, maybe running 3 times a week for the first like year. I was mainly still focused on P90X, but I really started to get into running in the summer of 2021. That's when I started to be big into like, okay, I'm gonna commit, I'm gonna run 5 days a week. And my first 10K, it was pretty slow. I ran like 47 minutes. I think it was 47:29, so that's pretty slow. But I'm like, okay, I didn't really have like Strava or anything back then, so I didn't really compare myself to others, so that was pretty nice. I just got to like run for the joy of it. I thought I was pretty fast back then, and I'm like, okay. And then a month later, this is August, and I run a 43 minute 10K, and at that point I'm like, okay, I think I'm pretty good at this. And at that point I started to develop this addiction for improvement. And that's something that a lot of runners develop. They develop this addiction for wanting to get better, wanting to get faster. And so that kind of planted a seed. So then the following February, I ran a sub 40 minute 10K. And then after that, I ran my first half marathon in, I think, 1 hour, 29 minutes, 44 seconds. And that was a big one. I think I ran it that August because I skipped a little bit of running for baseball, but and then I started, obviously I trained for the half marathon that summer. And I'd say that summer, the summer of 2022, that's where we were. That's when I started to develop my big passion for improvement, or not improvement, but my fascination for the training and just like the process of improvement, how I can get better. And so the summer of 2022, I started to really understand like, okay, what is a good training plan? How is it designed? And I started like like dip my feet in the water a little bit, get some experience with that. I learned all about base training and mileage and different types of workouts that you can do, like race-specific workouts. I started to invest in some running books. I think Daniel's Running Formula, Run Faster from the 5K to the Marathon by Brad Hudson, and many other books. And I became kind of just like addicted to my training. And in some ways, I think I like the I have a bigger fascination with the training part than the running itself in some ways. So I think that's kind of what led me to create a podcast was during many car rides, I'd be like, give a 20-minute lecture on the purpose of this run that I'm about to do. And she's taking me to a long run spot to my mom. And so my dad's just like, you know, you should create a podcast. And for a while, I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, why would I do that? That takes too much time. Nobody does that. I'm 14 years old. But then I started to like realize like, you know what, I do have a lot of information, and it took me a while to realize this, and I could actually make a pretty good podcast. And so this kind of just developed into a podcast. I was like, you know what, I'm going to create a podcast. I don't care if it's good or bad. I want to dip my feet in the water, see if I can learn something, see if I can help the community a little bit, and see, maybe I just try it out, but if I fail, at least I tried. And so hence I created the Sunday Shakeout, and it was a tough process at first. I didn't really have a good process for creating episodes, and I was still struggling to gather information like in a short period of time, because I've learned now how to gather information in a short period of time within like a couple hours to record an episode. But back then it was hard. Like, I remember I took like a full week just to research for one episode, and my dad's like, why don't you just record? So it took a while, but I finally perfected my, not perfected, there's always room for improvement, but I did get better at structuring my podcast. I'll kind of tell you like the story. So it first started, I was like, okay, I want to start this podcast. And my dad's like, yes, you finally come to the conclusion that you should start a podcast. This is great. I'm like, yeah, I want to start a running podcast. And he's like, okay, this is great. So we went online and we looked up like different podcast hosts, because we learned pretty quickly that you can't just record an episode and automatically publish it to Spotify. So we came upon Anchor, which is now Spotify for podcasters. They kind of rebranded it, but we stumbled upon Anchor, and we used Anchor to record the podcasts because it was free. I think we first used RSS feed or something like that. RSS.com, but that we needed a subscription for that, so we settled on Spotify for podcasters, so we wouldn't have to pay, because we knew we wouldn't be making any income, and I'm still not making any income yet. But so we did that, and we're like, okay, this is good. And then I published one episode, and I remember I was just so elated when I got to the 10 play mark. Like, I was just like, man, we're 10 plays in, let's go. I'm like super popular, like people are listening. And I was just super pumped up, and everything was great. I was like, after like 3 episodes, maybe I reached like 10 plays. Nah, it was more like 2, but anyway, I was really happy, and I was like, all right. And in a similar way, I think I was addicted to the process of improvement, seeing the numbers, but also just the process, like enjoying the process, like enjoying the research, enjoying recording. Like, I enjoy every second I record. And I think that was key. So I think I progressed pretty well. I think every episode I've learned something new. I've learned how to talk better, how to be more, or I've learned just naturally being more comfortable in front of the microphone. I've learned a whole bunch of stuff about fading in and out music. And overall, it's just made me super happy where I am right now. I've applied a lot of this knowledge even to my own training. Let me give you an example. I think the base training episode really did help when I was building up for track. Even though I did get injured, it really did help when it came to that. The strength training stuff, when I made an episode on strength training, my first episode, we're going to be talking about weightlifting today. But when I made one on strength training, basic strength training, that also really helped me. I think I learned a lot from that. And so I think knowledge, as Jason Fitzgerald says, he runs the Strength Running Podcast. He says that knowledge is a competitive advantage, and I couldn't agree more. I think that this podcast has not only made, I don't only think it's helped the community, but I also think it has helped me and that is key. I'd say some of the key lessons I've learned from podcasting is that you have to have a lot of patience when you're starting up like a podcast or a business. Obviously, I'm 14 years old, and a lot of times teenagers want instant results, whether they want to record a TikTok dance and like everybody to like them or something like that. I don't know. I don't have TikTok. Sorry. But so I think something that I've learned is just a lot of patience. And I've also learned the importance of like being able to develop your voice and your public speaking. I've noticed that since my podcasting, it's helped like in other areas of my life, like in school, I become more confident in class when speaking. Also, I played Jesus for the passion play for my school, and I noticed that my acting was just super good because my podcasting, I knew how to act and I knew how to speak really well. I know the microphone isn't, speaking into a microphone is not the same as speaking in front of an audience, but that experience, I find that it really does carry over, and that really does help. Additionally, like I write every weekend a lot, so that writing carries over to school, getting used to writing a lot, typing a lot, and that's really nice. Also just the joy of podcasting. Like, I think it's something that's super underrated. When people think of content creating, they always think of YouTube channels and trying to get your face out there on YouTube or TikTok or something like that. But I think there's something to be said for podcasting and letting your voice be heard. I think that's something that's super underrated, and I think it's something that a lot of people can invest their time in. And you know, if there's something you're really, really passionate about and that you're knowledgeable about, you don't even have to be knowledgeable about it. Like, you can be anybody. Like, I'm 14 years old. Like, anybody can do it. If I can do it, this sounds very cliche, but if I can do it, you can do it. And I'd say just the joy of podcasting, and hence I'm just really excited for the future. And I have some future goals. I think for the summer, I mean, I don't want to like say something and then not do it, but this summer I hope to create like a newsletter. That would be great if I could create a podcast newsletter that comes out like weekly with like tips, maybe a sneak peek into my next episode. That would be really nice for me to do this summer. I hope that within the next couple years I can get a sponsor. I do realize that a lot of companies out there are looking for, like, big name companies look for big podcasts, so it might take a bit. Or podcasts with hosts who are well known in the space of running, and I'm 14 years old, so I don't know if many companies are gonna ride on board with a 14 year old's podcast. But I do desire to get a sponsor, and I have faith that if I have patience and persistence over the next couple years, that I eventually will attract sponsors and that I will become a bigger name in the running space. Who knows, maybe I'll be like one of the best podcasts for running in the next 10 years. Mark my words. I don't know, I'm just kidding. But overall, this podcast journey, it seems like it's been a second life for me. Like, not like a revitalization, like not at all, but like it seems like I've lived a full life in like 6 months because of this podcast. And it's been a great tangent to my life. It's been a great escape from the normal running and also school. It's been another hobby and passion, and I think I needed to develop a hobby and a passion besides simply running. I think that running is a great passion and a great hobby, but a lot of the times you can take it super, super seriously to the point where it's not really super fun anymore, and I still make it as fun as I can. I still love this sport a lot, but I think having other hobbies besides running is super key, and I think that this podcast did a great job of giving me another outlet for my joy, and something that I think desperately needed. So now that we talked a lot about my celebration, I want to thank all my listeners so much. 1,000 plays, that's amazing. I try to focus more on the process than the outcome. Sounds kind of cliche again, but I think that's key. Focus on process more than outcome. So I'm not gonna set another number for like what I need to get to. Like, I'm not gonna be like, okay, it's 10,000 plays. I'm just gonna focus on, you know, making good episodes, and if I can make good episodes, focus on the quality, not the numbers, then the rest will follow. That's what I found, and that's with a lot of things running too. So today we're gonna get into weight training, and you know, why not start now? So weight training provides the most effective way to build strength for runners. If you have the ability to go to a gym or to get a home gym with a few key pieces, you know, like a barbell, a squat rack, maybe a bench, there's no reason why you wouldn't lift weights, especially, if you're a runner. However, many runners, you know, maybe they do weight train, but they don't weight train the right way, and runners need to prioritize many elements of strength. There are three main elements. You got absolute strength, which is essentially the ability to lift heavier weights, power, I like the definition that power is simply strength expressed quickly. Essentially, we're all about force production, how much force you can put into the ground, and simple facts, the more force you can put into the ground, the faster you will run, faster you will move forward. And then the third element of strength is durability. So this is the ability to withstand the training and the training process on the musculoskeletal system without injury. And so many people strength train the wrong way. I just said that. And many DVDs like P90X, Insanity, or classes like Body Pump, CrossFit, yeah, they might help you develop some strength. However, these things lack the specific needs of runners. You won't develop the specific strength and power that is necessary for you to run faster and stay injury-free. Because often these are circuit-based routines, and these circuit-based routines will leave you sore. Because I remember my days with P90X, I'd do a plyometrics workout, and the next day my legs would be on fire. So, yes, many of those classes will leave you sore and randomly tired. And for runners, they might cause injuries. I often call them lactic acid baths because these classes are often very hard and they won't complement your running. And obviously, if you do this and you get injured, then that's not a good thing. No runner wants to get injured, especially from something that didn't come from their primary activity, which is running. So that's not good. There are three main goals, or actually four main goals for weightlifting for runners. I find the first is injury prevention. That's pretty self-explanatory. You want to make the musculoskeletal system stronger and more durable to improve your injury resilience. Weightlifting will also, when it comes to injury prevention, it will help balance out muscle imbalances, which makes you stronger, makes stronger muscles, tendons, and ligaments. And if you can balance out muscle imbalances, your form will be better, which will make you better and less injury prone, and more efficient too. The second goal is muscular power, and this is essentially the ability to express strength quickly and produce force so that you can impart more force into the ground and thus run faster. This will also help you develop a very powerful finishing kick. I know one guy, his name is Galen Rupp, if you don't know him, and he's an Olympian, I don't know, like three-time Olympian maybe, three-time Olympian, he's a three-time Olympian, two-time Olympic medalist, and arguably the greatest Olympic distance runner, or American distance runner of all time. But prior to lifting weights, Galen Rupp wasn't really known for his great finishing kicks. He didn't really have a great kick, but at the end of Galen Rupp's days on the track, when he was lifting with the Nike Oregon Project, I know that's gotten a lot of scrutiny, but even at the end of his days on the track, he had a monster kick and he would book it the last 400 meters. I think I watched a US Champs, it was like the 5 or the 10,000 meters from like 2014, and Galen Rupp on the last lap, he just mowed down the competition. He ran away from everybody to get the win, and he didn't even look that tired afterwards. So lifting weights will, as proven by Galen Rupp, develop your finishing kick. Now, the third thing that I think lifting weights does for runners is it improves the communication pathways between the brain and your muscles. This is known as your neuromuscular coordination, and if you can improve your neuromuscular coordination, you will improve your running economy, which is how much energy you expend at certain speeds, so you'll expend less energy when running at the same speeds. You will also improve your efficiency and make your stride smoother. There are many ways that, you know, this can happen. It happens with the training of like the central nervous system, motor unit output, you know, there's a lot of things. And we might even make a full episode just talking about neuromuscular coordination, how to improve it, and how it impacts your running. Now, the fourth thing, and this is something I want to go a little in depth on, is weightlifting improves your overall athleticism. We runners need to think of ourselves as athletes who specialize in running, not just runners. And when you do, you will train more effectively and ultimately improve. Guys like Grant Fisher, who is an American Olympian, who made varsity for both the cross country team and the soccer team as a high school freshman, you know, I have no doubt that Grant Fisher's talent in running was partially developed by him playing soccer at an early age. Many of these stop and go sports like soccer and basketball are, you know, they move in different planes of motion. And so they develop, therefore develop lots of different types of strength. They develop your power and athleticism, and they also develop your aerobic systems, because there is a lot of running in these sports, even if the aerobic stimulus is not as much than just running. Therefore, you know, developing your athleticism is key, and it will greatly improve your running performance, as shown by Grant Fisher. If you don't have a background in soccer or the stop and go sports where you improve your ability to move laterally, you move in different planes of motion, then I'd say you really need to get on the ball when it comes to strength training and weightlifting. And even if you have, I think you still need to get a good dose of strength training and weightlifting. This will vastly improve your overall athleticism. And runners are like, well, why do I need to be athletic? Well, many runners, I'd say, here let me tell you a story. There are many runners who go on a trail. They've been road running their whole life, and they go trail running with their buddy on a technical trail, and they roll their ankle. And guess what? They can't run, so they're gonna have to go walk or limp back to their car, which could be miles and miles away. Now, if you strength train, you lift weights, and you improve your overall athleticism, maybe they roll their ankle on the trail, but they still are able to get up and keep going. See, improving your overall athleticism is great. It decreases your injury, and it helps you do more things in the sport. So that is key. But overall, the most important thing that weightlifting does for runners is prevent injuries, as the annual injury rate is depressingly high, and so reducing injuries is the number one goal of all strength training. Now, the glory of weightlifting is that it doesn't just develop your injury resiliency, it also develops your power and your neuromuscular coordination, like we talked about, which can improve your performance. So who wouldn't want to set PRs? So here are some common weightlifting mistakes so that you can set PRs and weight train the right way. So yeah, there are a lot of misconceptions when it comes to weightlifting for runners, and to get the most out of your weight training and not get injured while doing it, getting a lifting coach will also help you create a program and develop correct movement patterns, and so I recommend that. But mistake number one is the grab bag approach to weightlifting. This approach is relying on fitness DVDs such as P90X, Insanity, as well as CrossFit, you know, workout of the week stuff, or just going to miscellaneous body pump classes a few times a week. This is not optimal for building strength. Circuits with exercise after exercise without much rest don't optimally build strength. Instead, take 1 to 2 minutes of recovery after each set instead. These fitness DVDs or CrossFit classes do circuits because they burn more calories and help you lose weight faster. But for doing hardcore strength that complements running, we aren't focused on how many calories we burn. Circuits aren't only counterproductive, but they're too hard. So include more rest so that the lift is rest aerobically challenging. You should not ever be out of breath before your next set, because lifting weights does not have the same physiological purpose as running. So no strength workouts should be cardiovascular difficult and are not, this is not needed. So main lesson here is, you know, add some rest. Don't be in these lactic acid bath workouts where you're struggling to breathe before your next set. You need optimal rest, and that is how you're gonna strength train properly and stay injury free. The second mistake I see a lot of runners make is, I think there's two sides of the coin. It's lifting for endurance or lifting like a bodybuilder. Lifting lighter weights for higher repetitions is not useful for your running. As runners, we already train for endurance out on the run. We are in the weight room to get stronger, not to build endurance. And so training the opposite energy system than the one you are using for long distance running has a bigger impact on your performance than lifting for endurance. So don't try to simulate running motions with weights, like, you know, ankle weight stuff, or like doing these arm pumps with the weights. Compound bilateral movements like squats and deadlifts with a heavy load, they carry nicely over to running, even if the effects aren't seen immediately. So think of stuff like, you know, squats, deadlifts, lunges, presses, Olympic lifts like the clean and power jerk, and step ups. And on the other side of the coin, we have lifting like a bodybuilder. Bodybuilders lift weights for hypertrophy and spend most of the week in the gym for several hours at a time. Runners do not need to lift that often for that long. Instead of doing isolation exercises, focus on compound, larger standing movements so that athletes can engage multiple muscle groups. Don't lift certain body parts for certain days. We don't care about the size of our biceps, we care about how strong we are. And mistake number three is relying on stability training as your weight training. Many runners rely on stability training, either with Swiss balls or wobble boards or Bosu balls or whatever, however you pronounce them. But however, if you are doing stability training, you are missing the biggest benefit of weight training, the increased force production. So while these Swiss balls or other stability tools are good in rehab situations, they aren't good when you're learning how to implant force into the ground at a high level. The goal is strength when it comes to strength training and to put a lot of force against the ground. That makes you faster. Stability training won't help with force production because it's hard to produce a great deal of force on an unstable surface. You won't create the stimulus needed for neuromuscular adaptation that increases power and speed. So don't rely on stability training. That has its place in a rehab situation, like I talked about. Instead, we need to be focusing on strength and power force production. And, you know, strength training is non-negotiable, no matter your age. And I would argue that if you're an older runner, strength training, especially weightlifting, is even more important than when you were younger. Because weightlifting at an older age will extend your longevity in the sport. It will help maintain and even increase fitness. It will prevent injury. It will help prevent the loss of muscle mass. And this is something my dad has talked about before. He's talked about a lot how he lifts weights to complement his swimming because he doesn't want to lose muscle mass. And if he loses muscle mass, that can be an issue. So he does lift weights and he does swim, and it does work for him. And as you get into your 40s, you begin to slowly lose muscle mass. So that is a big problem that many people face. And as you get later in life, even later than your 40s, 50s, 60s, up into your 70s and 80s, this can become a problem. So weightlifting prevents the loss of muscle mass. And at the bare minimum, if you can't access, you know, weightlifting, bodyweight exercises are essential, especially for everybody. Just everybody. Even if you can't lift weights, bodyweight exercises will help you a lot, especially from an injury prevention standpoint. However, even though bodyweight exercises are great, weightlifting is still better, and an ideal strength program, it does include a balance of bodyweight exercises and lifting weights to prioritize injury prevention, as obviously as well as force production and power. So use a progression with bodyweight strength exercises. And once you have mastered the basic movement patterns, you can begin to lift weights and you will be miles ahead of everybody. But my biggest tip for lifting for runners is to get a lifting coach. Many runners who get a lifting coach can get a lifting program that is designed for that runner and specifically targets the areas that the injury-prone runners are weak in, you know, such as the hips, knees, or whatever. The lifting coach can also help the runner select exercises and techniques that complement their running. This will improve their power, athleticism, force production, and overall performance. Additionally, a lifting coach will also help runners use proper form and technique during their lifting sessions, which will minimize their risk of injury and make a more productive lifting session so that they can more effectively learn and let their body know the movement patterns. Additionally, a lifting coach will periodize a weightlifting program for the runner so that they can go through natural progression, ensuring that their training load gradually increases over time to prevent plateaus and to optimize their structural adaptations that they get. A lifting coach will also monitor their progress, they will modify the training, and they will provide assistance to increase weight or change exercises, additionally providing accountability and motivation for runners. Now, there's something that runners experience in the gym. It's called imposter syndrome in the weight room. And I think we might do a pretty good episode on imposter syndrome in weightlifting and how runners can combat this. But the simple thing is, they don't feel like they belong in the weight room because when they walk in, they see these big gym bros, and they're slapping chests with each other, or I don't know what gym bros do. Sorry to throw shade on you. I don't mean to do that, but essentially, the gym bros, they intimidate the runners and say they don't go to the gym. Maybe their coach assigns them some workouts, but, you know, they don't do it. Or maybe they don't have a coach, which is why a lifting coach is really good. A lifting coach can offer encouragement, motivation, and accountability so that they can stick to the plan and experience the benefits of weightlifting. But again, like I said before, some strength training is better than no strength training. So even if you can't do weightlifting, bodyweight exercises will do the trick, and you will become a much faster runner. Thank you for listening to episode 29 of the Sunday Shakeout. This episode was pretty insightful, I think. I hope it was. I think that weightlifting is a big topic for runners. Personally, me, I do not weightlift because I don't have the money for a lifting coach, nor the money for a gym membership. I also don't have the time to do that. I know I'm making so many excuses, but in all honesty, I just can't do it. I just don't have the time. But and I can see how many runners don't have the time as well, because life has many other priorities besides just, you know, running. So it totally makes sense if you don't have the time. I'd say if you do have the time and you do have the money and you do have the will to do so, I would get a gym membership and I would go weightlift twice a week. That would be my biggest tip. It doesn't have to be a super long session. It can be under an hour, just twice a week, lifting for like 45 minutes even. Just pick like 5 exercises and do like 3 sets of 10 reps to start, and you can progress down to more sets and lower reps. And that will vastly improve your durability, your muscular power, your neuromuscular coordination, your overall athleticism, your bone density, all these great things that us runners want and us runners need to perform really well and achieve our maximum potential. If you enjoyed this episode of the Sunday Shake Up, please consider following to or subscribing to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I would also greatly appreciate a review in Apple Music, Spotify, or anywhere you find your podcasts. If you have any questions regarding anything running, you can reach out to me at thesundayshakeout@gmail.com. I will get back to you as soon as possible. Also, I would appreciate your feedback down in the comments down below, and if you would like to, you can participate in our polls, which can also help produce future episodes, and I just want to get to know you guys better, get to know my listeners better, because that'll only benefit me and you, so that's all great. Again, I want to thank all my listeners so much for all the support. We have reached 1,000 plays on this podcast. I hope I've been improving since like episode 1, and because we're on episode 29, so I hope I've gotten a lot better. But it's all thanks to you guys. Really, I could not do this without you. I don't take it for granted how lucky I am to be in this situation, and I'm just overjoyed. I really am. Like, I could tear up right now if I wanted to. So why don't we get off air so I can go cry? Anyway, peace out. This is the Sunday Shakeout.